Thank you for being in a house of worship today on this cold, blustery winter day. Where did spring go?
It's coming.
That's right. It will be here. I think in 3 days. Matter of fact, they're forecasting in the 40s again. So the Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. We're excited to have the youth class up here today. Everybody excited to have the youth class? All of us older timers, let's give them a hand. Amen. Notice I didn't say old folks. I said older timers. It's good. I think it's good to get old. I'm enjoying getting older. I tell you what. People complain at work. I tell them all the time. I said, beats the alternative, man. You know, heaven's a good proposition, but I like being here too. Amen. We are going to look in the Word of the Lord today. Acts chapter 19, if you want to put your finger there or go in your device. Well, we're going to begin a series today. Pastor asked me to teach, and that's why the youth class is up here, and we're glad they're here. Our series is going to be on the topic of understanding the authority of God, or understanding God's authority. I'll use that interchangeably and variably throughout this series, but understanding God's authority, or understanding the authority of God. And I want that to be our goal of the series, is to truly understand the authority of God. And before we do that, we want to pray. And I want to pray very specifically. I want to pray against any opposing spirit that would try to disrupt our thinking, that would try and disrupt our obedience, that would try and disrupt the word of the Lord. Amen? So let's do that. Father, by the authority of your word, in Jesus' name, we come to you today, Lord, and we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your word. Lord, your word is forever settled in heaven, Lord, and we're not here to represent ourselves. We're here to represent you through your word, God. It is the word of God, forever settled in heaven. Not one jot or tittle will pass away, Lord, till all be fulfilled. Your word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple, Lord God. And we just pray today for understanding, God. Open our eyes, open our spirits, open our ears, and God, give us the will and the courage to obey your word. Father, right now we oppose any opposing forces of the enemy. We plead the blood of Jesus in this place. God, we pray, Lord, that you would cast out any spirit that is not of God, any spirit of perversion, any spirit of deception. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's clap our hands to the Lord and praise the Lord. Amen. All right. I set us up because with that being said, all the spirits are gone and all that's left is flesh. Yeah. Now it's up to you. Amen. And it's up to me. All that's left to do is crucify our flesh. It's easy to cast the devil out, but it's really hard to lay ourselves down and die on that cross with Jesus Christ. Amen? But we want to do that today. And before we go on in our series, something occurred to me as I was getting ready for this lesson, and I got down to the bottom of the lesson, and I really do believe that the Lord wants us to do something. So often, we hear through our filters. We hear through our experiences. We hear through our understanding. We hear through our feelings. We hear through our emotions. And too often, sometimes we hear through unforgiveness. We're going to be talking a lot about authority, but we're going to be talking primarily about God's authority, and we want to understand God's authority, because God's authority is manifest in various forms in our life. For example, and we're going to get into this a little bit in detail further on, but if you're speeding up the road at 95 miles an hour in a 60 mile an hour zone, and you pass a policeman and his radar is on, you are going to meet God's authority. And he's going to get out, or she's going to get out, and they're going to have a gun on their side, and they're going to have a badge. They're not out representing themselves. They're out representing the great state of Ohio, if you're in Ohio. But who put them there? The Bible says God ordained authorities. So it's not about the person today. It's about the God who has ordained the person. We need to get that in our spirit, because it will help us, whether it's your mother or father, whether it's your pastor, your youth pastor, the policeman in the little town that of Bellevue, I think it was, I was coming through one time on the way back from Lake Erie, and for the life of me, I did not see that 25-mile-an-hour speed zone, but the officer did, and he saw me, and I got to meet him outside of the city limits. He pulled me over in a space that was safe, and he come up, and he had me, and I was frustrated because I'm like, man, I don't want to get a ticket. But when the window was rolled down, my insurance card was in my hand, my registration was in my hand, my hands were on the steering wheel, and I said, yes, sir. Why? Because he was the authority. Amen? So to understand God's authority, I want us to pray again. And I want us to look in ourselves introspectively. And I want us to think about our past. I really believe this is from the Lord. I believe the other was from the Lord too, so I was just being jovial. But I really believe the Lord instructed me to do this for us. Because I think if we don't do this, I think it's going to taint everything we hear going forward. And I want the Lord to speak to us and be able to talk to us. But I want us to think about our lives. And I want to think about the authority that's been in our lives to this point. And if there is anyone in our life in a position of authority that has hurt us, I want us to think about that. And I want us to make sure we've forgiven them. We've been hearing a lot about forgiveness and what it is. We've been hearing a lot about getting ourselves right with God. Because God wants to do something. You know, every time God did something in the scripture, read the Old Testament, what did he do? He called the people together and he said, sanctify yourselves. Set yourselves apart. From what? From sin. Set yourselves apart from things that separate you from God. That's what God is doing for us as his people. And because he loves us. Some of it hasn't been very pleasant, has it? Why? Because it deals with us denying our flesh. So I want us to think, and maybe you've already thought of someone. In your mind, there's a hurt, there's an offense, we haven't forgiven, or there's just a, maybe we feel we have forgiven, but there's just an unpleasant memory there. I want us to ask God to help us to forgive and release that and repent so we can move on and hear what God wants us to hear in the Spirit. Father, we come to you right now in your name. And God, we're getting ready to talk about authority. God, you ordain authority. And Lord, the men and the women who carry your authority are not perfect. As a matter of fact, your scripture says that we have this treasure in earthen vessels. We are frail. We are sinful. We are lost without you, God. Sometimes authority gets it right. Sometimes authority gets it wrong. Sometimes authority willfully abuses their power. And God, right now we come and we stand and we sit before you, Lord, examining ourselves. And God, we release anybody, Lord, that's harmed us, Lord. Lord God, we release anybody, God, Lord, that has hurt us because of their position, Lord, over us, Lord Jesus. We pray right now, God, that you would forgive them, Lord, that you would forgive us, Lord, and help us to move on in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Acts chapter 19, verse 13. Says, then certain of the vagabond Jews exorcists took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. And there were seven sons of Siva, of one Siva, a Jew, and chief of the priest, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? Could you imagine that? Casting this devil out and saying, who in the world are you? Go back to bed. And he leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling in Ephesus, and fear fell on them all. And in the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified, and many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also, which had curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all the men, and they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. A revival broke out because of this. But the principle we want to bring out today is just because we think we're ready to do the will of God doesn't mean that we're ready to do the will of God. The people that came afterward and confessed and brought their curious works of art, their witchcraft, their sorcery, and laid them down and brought them and presented them before the apostles and repented of their deeds and their sins and brought them to light, those folks were ready. But these people, just because they said, "Lord, in Jesus' name be cast out," it didn't work. Well, I thought the name of Jesus has power. It does. It does, but we need to be submitted to the proper authority. We need to be in line with the Lord Jesus Christ. How do we do that? We are submitted to our local spiritual authority for one aspect. So if we enter the work of ministry unsubmitted, it's not going to bode well for us. Why? Is it just because of the fact I'm unsubmitted? No, there is protection in submission. There's protection in submission. How many times have we heard that? A lot. Why? Because it's true. How does that work? We're going to talk about that. We're not to find our own work to do, but we're out to find the will of God and do what God wants us to do. Why? Because we want to be profitable servants for the Lord. This is not just about being saved. This is not just about being born again. This is not just about attending church. This is about advancing God's kingdom in the earth, being and doing what he wants us to do. After we understand this, we can enjoy God, his experience of walking with him, and doing his will submitted to his authority. Romans chapter 13, we want to look at. We're going to talk about the source of authority in the earth. Okay? It says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. There is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance," or the ordination of God. "And when they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation." This scripture popped into my mind after President Trump was duly elected in our electoral system and won the Electoral College according to our Constitution. And all of a sudden, someone or somebody's or some people's decided to start a movement. Do you know what I'm talking about? What's it called? Resist. I truly fear for those people, because according to the word of the Lord, they are incurring damnation upon themselves. Why? Because they are resisting the ordained authority of God. I can stand here today and tell you with all honesty, I didn't agree with President Obama. I still don't agree with President Obama. I don't like his ideals. I think they're against the scriptures of God. But I prayed for that man, and I honored that man. Why? Number one, he was the president of the greatest country in this world, my opinion. About the greatest country in this world. Tell you what, we don't have to live here. I like living here. It's a privilege to live here. And from everyone I've talked to who's traveled outside the country, most of the time, they're really glad to come back home. Why? Because there's no place like America in the world. And there came a point in time in President Obama that I was making some comments about him. Not necessarily about policy, but about him. And the Lord reminded me from his word about how Peter said that there was a group of people that were not afraid to speak evil of dignities, which means ordained authority in government. And from then on, I was very careful about how and what I said about President Obama. Why? Because he was God's ordained authority. And we are to submit ourselves to them. I don't want to bring damnation on myself. You know, sometimes we wonder why we have so much trouble in our lives. The scripture tells us why sometimes. We're bringing judgment on ourselves when we resist the ordained authority that God has placed in our life. It's just natural. So let's move on. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. It's very simple, Paul was saying. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon them that do evil. Now, keep in mind, this is talking about governmental civil authority. However, the principle applies to all authority in this world. God has ordained authority. And we're going to find out why. Why authority? The word, what does it mean? Why is it so important? Verse 5 says, we on verse 5? Yep. Wherefore ye must needs be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers attending continually upon this very thing. Taxes are the will of God. He said pay them. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. I think that might be the capstone scripture of that text right there. Because if we're struggling with submission, we're struggling with love. I've really come to the conclusion after the time that I've been walking with God, we don't struggle with sin, we struggle with love. Sin appeals to our flesh. Actually, sin itself, sin wouldn't exist if I didn't disobey. Now, am I saying there is no sin in the world? No, that's not what I'm saying. But in my life, now in my flesh, there dwells no good thing. But I've been redeemed. Okay? I'm sanctified in Jesus Christ. Let's use lying for an example. I have a temptation to lie. Temptation is not a sin. James said that we are drawn away. We're all drawn away from what? From the Word, from God, by our own what? Our own lusts, which is an inordinate desire. In our culture, we think of lust in the sensual connotation, very appropriate. However, lust is an inordinate desire, a wrong desire, a desire that takes me away from the will of God and the Word of God. So let's be hypothetical right this moment and say, my pulling desire is lying. I'm just a compulsive liar. Okay? I might be pulled to lie, but I have not sinned until I lie. Then I become a sinner. I don't have a problem, according to Scripture, though. If I could replace that pull with the love of God, then lying doesn't become an issue, and the temptation doesn't become an issue. Am I clear? Am I communicating okay? I want to make sure I am. Because here's the thing. Let's sum it up like this. I said it before. We don't have a sin issue. We have a love issue. And the problem is we love ourselves more than our neighbor. We love ourselves more than God. Therefore, we cater to those inordinate desires. And we wonder why we can't progress any further in the Spirit. So, submission, everybody paying attention to me? Because I don't want misquoted. Submission is not the issue. Love is the issue. If I love God, I'm going to submit to my authority. Because God has placed that authority in my life. So my goal is, number one, we understand God's authority. We're going to take some time today to understand God's authority and the faces that it takes in our lives. And understand that if I truly love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, and this is a work in progress, folks. You're not going to wake up tomorrow and be 100% perfect and never get it wrong again. That's why Paul said what? I die. What? So tomorrow I got to get up and what? And Tuesday I got to get up and what? And Wednesday I got to get up and what? And Thursday and Friday and do it all over again next Saturday and Sunday. And you know where we trip up is when we get tired of dying to ourselves. That's where the problem happens. And then we begin to think we have rights and we think this and we think that and we think the other. And I'm not saying anything about the other right now. I'm talking about us measured up to the Word of God. That's why the apostle said, don't measure yourself among yourselves. That's not wise when you compare yourself among yourself. I can't compare myself to you. You may be much stronger in an area. I may be much stronger in an area. We're working on a different area, but we're working on it in Christ. So please, submission is the issue, but the real issue is, do I love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, and my neighbor as myself? Paul said, owe no man anything but to love one another. So if I'm truly trying to love God and I'm loving my brother and sister, am I going to be rebellious to my spiritual authority? What's the answer? No. Authority. A very interesting word. According to Merriam-Webster, authority is freedom granted by one in authority. Authority granted by authority. Who granted their authority? Their authority. Who granted their authority? Their authority. Do you see how critical it is to be submitted to authority? Everyone has authority in their life. No one is exempt from authority but God. Everyone has authority in their life. No one is exempt from authority but God. If we're going to submit ourselves to someone, it had better be someone who won't always speak well of us. It had better be someone when they see something in our lives, says, brother, sister, you got to get this right. I've got men in my life and I've had men tell me, Darren, you're wrong. Have you considered this? You say something and wait a minute. That's not the way it is. If your authority never tells you anything wrong about yourself, my friend, I'd be checking whether I wanted to submit to that person or not. Now that doesn't mean your authority picks you apart every time you come around. You understand what I'm saying? You understand? Sure. But freedom granted by one in authority. The root word of authority, author, one that originates or creates something. Well, isn't that interesting? Who is Jesus? He's the author and he's the finisher of our faith. Who does the scripture tell me that I need to be submitted to? Jesus Christ. Amen. How do I do that? Because I submit myself to the authority under him that's over me. Why is that so important? Because there's an author and there's an originator who's the Lord God, the Lord Jehovah, the eternal spirit that dwelt in the man Christ Jesus, redeeming mankind to himself as he walked the earth. It all goes back up to God. Bible says, speaking of the family, that there's God, there's Christ, there's the man, the husband, the wife, and so on and so forth. Why? Because there's authority that flows down. There's power that flows down from God through his authority. So one that originates or creates something. Who created everything? God. In the beginning, God. God said. The suffix I-T-Y, can you actually believe that actually has a definition? Maybe you English scholars knew that, but you can look up the suffix not in the Bible, but in the Webster's Dictionary, and it has a definition, and it means the state or the quality or the degree of. So what is one in authority? One who is in the state of the originator. You might say instead of. What does that mean? Jesus said what? He said, behold, I give you power. What? I give you authority, right? Over the enemy. He said, you're going in my place. Sometimes I think, you know, I think where the Lord has us as a church, we're wondering why things aren't happening that he said are going to happen. I'm not sure if it's so much a matter of timing, but it's a matter of submission. Yeah. We're not submitted to the authority that God wants us to submit to. Therefore, we can be like the seven sons of Stephen and say, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name all day long, and nothing happens. And we're frustrated. We're wondering why. Because we don't have the power of God flowing through us. Why? Because the power of God can't flow in us. Why? Because we are not submitted properly to the authority in our lives. One who is in position of authority has been granted freedom by the originator or the creator of something and operates on their behalf. That's what authority is. It all comes from God. Just like I said, that friendly officer or even that unfriendly officer comes by and brings out his little book and starts to talk to you. Nothing else matters at that moment but your submission to the officer. Now, we're not taught that today. We're not taught that in our culture. But why is it so important? Because they have a badge. Well, what does that badge represent? That badge represents the law. And what does the law represent? It represents the legislature and the will of the people of the state of Ohio. And if we're not willing to obey that, there's a judge that will gladly help us obey that. Folks, I want to tell you, just one second, Brother Mark. I want to tell you, someone is going to tell us what to do. We will be submitted to someone. Nobody going to tell me what to do. There's a lot of people sitting in jail that said those words. I've often told my children as they grow up, you either control yourself or someone will control you. You can't get out of authority, folks. There's no Lone Rangers. Brother Mark. It's sad. I had a relative, an uncle of mine. He spent his entire life on the road. He was a vagabond because he would not submit himself to authority. And he died without God. He was an alcoholic, tore his family apart, and it's not a good thing. It's not a good thing. So, one who is in position of authority has been granted freedom by the originator or creator of something and operates on their behalf. So therefore, positions of authority in God's kingdom have been created and been granted by God. And they have been delegated authority by God. Now, freedom for what? Freedom to do the will and the bidding of the author, the originator, or the creator, period. We're to do God's will, God's way. That's our purpose because it's his kingdom. And we're going to talk about a man who refused to do that in just a little bit. And his kingdom ended. And it didn't end, Brother Mark, it didn't end well. You're talking about young people? This was a grown man, and his name was Saul. So, freedom to do the will and the bidding of the author, originator, or creator. Authority, please, please keep this in mind and do a New Testament study. You can do it in the Old Testament too, but New Testament, it just jumps right out at you. Authority is not taken, it is granted. You take authority, you're in rebellion. You can receive authority. Now, what comes to mind, I've heard us say, and I've said it before, I take authority by the name of Jesus. I understand what we're saying. I'm not saying we're doing anything wrong. I'm talking about people who grasp and take authority on their own. Without being under authority, you get what I'm saying? Is rebellion. It's scriptural. Maybe a proper way to say it is I receive authority in Jesus' name. Because when I receive authority, I have authority. Because I can't have authority on my own. It's got to be granted. Do a study in Scripture. He granted them authority. It is given for a very specific reason, and it is not about the one to whom it is given. It's never about me or you when God grants us authority. It's about Him. It's about the author, the originator, or the creator. Point in case. Here's what Jesus said. John chapter 9 and verse 10. Then Pilate said unto him, speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power or authority to crucify thee and power to release thee? I love Jesus' answer. Jesus said, thou couldest have no power at all against me except it were given thee from above. So, Mr. Pilate, let's go back to where it comes from. It's not about you, Pilate. It's not about Rome. It's not about Caesar. It's all about me. You know, that is one person who can truly say that and mean it. It's all about me, Jesus Christ. But you know what? Bible says even though he was in the form of God, he thought it not robbery to be equal to God. He came and what? He humbled himself and became a servant. We're going to talk about that as we go. That is the whole purpose of authority, is not to exercise power, but it is to submit ourselves unto authority and serve. Why? That the glory can go back up to God. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. So Jesus was saying, Pilate didn't even have authority except it were given to him by God. You and I have no authority in and of ourselves except it is granted by God. We dare not take it ourselves. That's what happened with the seven sons of Sceva. They tried to take authority in Jesus' name. And the devil said, who in the world are you? I don't know you. You have no power. Why don't you have any power? Because you're not submitted to authority. You know, in our culture, authority is a dirty word. It's a bad word. Not in God's kingdom. We understand that there's power in submission to authority. Amen? Assumed authority. If you're taking notes, write this down and stick it on your refrigerator. Because it's not me, it's Jesus. He gave it to me. Assumed authority is not authority, it is rebellion. Just ask Lucifer. And that's where I'm going with all this. When I said if you take authority, or you grasp at authority, or you assume authority, you're in rebellion. We're going to talk about that rascal here in just a little bit. He tried it. He tried to assume authority. He tried to assume a position or a place that wasn't his. And what did God do? You're gone. I wish I could snap like Brother Hurt. I need to have him teach me how to do that, man. That's just powerful. I can just see something happening in the Holy Ghost every time he does that. Demons are fleeing. Guy's awesome. But if you assume authority, you're in rebellion. Why? Because you're not under authority. It's not about you. Right. It's not about me. It's about Jesus. That's why I need to say something. Am I making sense? Am I? Seriously. I want to make sense. I want to be perfectly clear. Because there's power in authority. And there's trouble in rebellion. You know, all rebellion is not necessarily marching in the streets. All rebellion isn't necessarily the women's liberation movement or the gay pride movement or whatever movement you've got out there, you know? It's not all headline news. Rebellion comes in all kinds of forms. But the bottom line is, However, it manifests itself, it all goes back to unsubmission. And unsubmission comes back to what? A love issue. I love myself more than you. I love myself more than God. So, Paul writing to Titus, he said, verse 15 of chapter 2, he said, "These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee." Chapter 3, verse 1, "Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man." "To be brawlers." "No brawlers." "To be brawlers." "No." "To be no brawlers." Don't want you leaving here saying Brother Pritt said it's okay to punch my neighbor. That wouldn't be good. "But be gentle." Well, that's hard to do, isn't it? "Showing all meekness unto all men." Church, we need a revelation of spiritual authority. And I'm going to say it again. Assumed authority is not authority. It's a rebellion. Just ask Lucifer. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about Jesus Christ. The Jews missed who Jesus was because they continually questioned his authority. Jesus had impeccable character. Never lied, never cheated, never stole, never abused anybody, never, you know, exercised his power to hurt anybody. He was the ultimate and consummate leader and authoritarian. But they constantly questioned his authority. "By what authority do you do this? By what authority do you do that?" In other words, what gives you the right? "Yeah, Jesus, I've never heard you say anything bad about it. I've never heard this, never done that, blah, blah, blah." Well, what gives you the right to tell me what to do? Paul told Titus to rebuke with all authority, to teach them to be subject to powers to do good works. Do you know it is absolutely perfectly in the will of God if an apostle, prophet, evangelist, teacher, or pastor comes to you, particularly in this case our pastor, because we're together every week in fellowship, comes to us and says, "Oh, I can't do it. Brother, you need to repent. You're out of the will of God." That is perfectly the will of God. Why does it happen like that sometimes? Well, you ever consider this? Maybe we weren't listening for all along. I don't know. Just it could be. Maybe God's just trying to get our attention. Maybe God doesn't want to destroy ourselves. Maybe he really, you know, does love us and trying to get us to open our eyes and understand that maybe we're just not all that in a bag of chips. We're sinners. We're undone. We desperately need God. We need transparency. We need vulnerability. We need accountability, and we need submission. Wish I had that written down. Let's see. We need transparency, vulnerability, accountability, and submission. Transparency, vulnerability, accountability, and submission. Somebody write that down for me, will you? Transparency, vulnerability, accountability, and submission. Let me have it after service. Because I want to study on that. Transparency, vulnerability, accountability, and submission. Why? Because if we can hide, we will. It's our nature. And there's something very diabolical and demonic about hidden rebellion. Paul said, "Titus, teach the church to be subject to delegated authorities." Who are these authorities in the church? Pastor? Evangelists? Apostles? Prophets and teachers? Amen. And particularly this case, on a week-to-week days, on a daily basis, it's our pastor to be submitted to them, to be subject to them. Amen. To do what God tells us to do through them. Amen? But as we said, and corporately, and just in our whole life, God's authority takes many different faces. And that's why I want us to understand it on a local level, and I want us to understand it in a life level. Because God's authority comes at us in many different ways. If you are cheating on your taxes, you are not submitted to God. You're out of the will of God. You're sinning. And you need to repent. I don't know if anybody is or not. I'm just saying, if you are. Why? Because the IRS is God's authority to you. I just read it in Romans 13. We're supposed to pay taxes. As much as we don't like it, it's the will of God. Why? Because God ordained it. Two revelations we need in this day and age. Number one, we need to trust God's salvation. Number two, we need to learn to obey his authority. Learn it all over again. Learn it fresh and anew. Cleanse our minds. Lord, cleanse our minds. Sin is lawlessness. We talked about it earlier. When I break the law, Bible says sin is the transgression of the law. When I break the law, I'm a sinner. It's an issue of the heart, as we said. It's a love factor. Sin is a symptom of the underlying issue. And again, we'll say it again, self-love. Paul said in the last days, what? Perilous times are going to come? Times in which it's hard to know what to do? Why? First thing on the list, men will be lovers of their own selves. And then he lists everything else. Everything else is a derivative of self-love. You know, I've heard it said before, and I think sometimes we misunderstand that scripture. You know, Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. He wasn't telling us to love ourselves so we can love our neighbor. The word as means in the same manner as, in like manner. In other words, Jesus is saying, if you love your neighbor as you love yourself, you won't have a problem. You're not going to hurt him. Because we already love ourselves. We might say, oh, no, don't. I hate myself. No, you don't. Self-hate's a form of self-love. It really is. We love ourselves. Don't believe me? Just wait till something don't go your way. Wait till someone crosses us. Wait till someone doesn't speak to us when we think they should, or shake our hand when, you know, just some of the pettiest stuff we get upset about. I mean, some stuff we get upset about, you know, it's life stuff. Yes, it happens. Sure. And we don't like it. We get upset. Yes, we do. I'm not going to deny that. But at the same time, we love ourselves. We look after ourselves. We pamper ourselves. And that's what the apostles, Jesus was saying. Love others as you love yourself. We need to be careful. We talked about that hidden rebellion. Paul called it the mystery of iniquity. And it said in the last day, he said it was working in his day, but in the last day, it's going to work even harder, and it is. And what is the mystery of iniquity? Do a word study on it. Mystery means something hidden, not obvious to the eye. Something hidden, not obvious to the eye. In other words, something you can't readily see, but you know is there. And what is iniquity? It is rebellion, plain and simple. So what was Paul saying? There's going to be an onslaught of hidden rebellion in the last days. It's the spirit of Antichrist. God is trying to unearth the hidden rebellion in our lives and help us repent. Well, I'm running out of time today, so we're going to recap this way. Assumed authority is not authority. It is rebellion. Remember Lucifer, because he said in Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 13, for thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, I will be like the Most High. Remember, assumed authority is not authority, it is a rebellion. Remember, authority is granted. Why? So we can do the will of the Creator. Amen? So, we're going to stop there today, but let's stand and pray again. And I just want to ask the Lord to help us, to touch us, and to... If there's an area in our life that we're not submitted in, God help us to submit. Amen? I'm not saying it's easy. If it were easy, Jesus wouldn't have said, if you're going to follow me, come take up your cross and what? Die. Take up your cross and follow me. This is a way of death, folks. And you know what? There's something unique. I want to get off the subject of submission and authority just for a moment. There's something unique happening among us, because God will not leave us alone. I've seen it happen over and over and over again since I've been here in 3 years. God is preparing this church for something phenomenal. We have promises, folks, but remember, and the whole generation of Israelites died in the wilderness with a promise. I don't want to die in the wilderness because of my unbelief and my disobedience, and these young people inherit what God has promised His church. I want us all to inherit it together. And what the Lord is doing among us, He is calling us again to discipleship. And what is discipleship? Is death to ourself and following as closely to him as we can. Actually, literally, they followed the master so close that it was their goal to walk within his dust. Not get any further away from him, but to be in the dust of the rabbi, the teacher. And that's where the Lord wants us. And the Lord's saying, if you're going to follow me, you're going to have to be submitted to the authority in your life. And you see, it's the goal of the enemy in our flesh to trick us into thinking that's a bad thing. You need to go your own way. Well, if you're thinking that way, just go to the book and look what happened to the original rebel. That's the word I'm looking for, the original rebel. Jesus said, as lightning, I saw him cast out of heaven. It happened fast. God said, I'm not putting up with this in heaven. I want to ask us a question before we pray. What would happen if we would be true to our own selves and examine our own lives and say, you know what? As fast as Satan was cast out of heaven, I'm casting rebellion out of my heart. What kind of revival would break out in my life? Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word today. Thank you for your presence. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Ghost that we feel. God, I just pray that you would, Lord, help us in Jesus' name to die to ourselves. Lord, to submit ourselves to you through the authority, God, that you have ordained in our life. God, that we could find not just the blessing, but the power of God in Jesus' name. Lord, we give you praise. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. God bless you.